Autograph of Srila Prabhupada, one of the most popular, well-loved photos of our beloved Guru Maharaj. Brings very great significance to the event we are commemorating this evening. I have been told that this beautiful photograph of His Divine Grace is His applauding with great affection a drama performance which was offered to Him by His disciples. Just a few days before I came to India, one of the earliest actresses of the Hare Krishna movement was speaking on our request at New Vrindavan. She was part of the Vaikuntha Players. At that time, in about 1972, the New York Temple was the largest temple in all of ISKCON. Also, Prabhupada was spending most time there of anywhere. Every Sunday, they had drama. And these people, they took their drama very serious. It was practically their full-time service. Srila Prabhupada always envisioned a beautiful temple, skyscraper building in Manhattan. And part of that temple, by Srila Prabhupada's desire, was a full theater. A major part of a particular floor was a theater just for these performances of drama. One performance, Srila Prabhupada was in tears. And afterwards, he publicly said that these dramatic performances of my devotees are better than my books. Because the message of my books is being presented in such a heart-moving form that it changes hearts. Srila Prabhupada wanted this group of devotees to travel with him all over the world to perform dramas whenever he spoke. He considered it such a powerful medium of both inspiring devotees and preaching the message of Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls. We know Srila Prabhupada has written in his books that Krishna conscious dramas cannot be possibly performed by professional actors. Why? Because they cannot penetrate to a person's soul. Professional actors and actresses, they can make us laugh and cry, they can create fear or curiosity in our hearts, but they cannot touch our souls. And the whole purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to transform the quality of the soul, to actually bring that connection of the soul to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada has written in one of his celebrated purports that in order to do so, the performers of Krishna conscious drama must be devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna and strictly following the four regulative principles. And the success of the drama is not simply due to professional trained actors and actresses, but the sincerity of the devotees' hearts. Because when there is sincerity, Krishna empowers his mercy through the sincere Vaishnavas. Just like Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas literally condemned professional reciters of Bhagavad Saptaha. If you're going to speak Bhagavat, you have to be following in the footsteps of Sukadev Goswami. Following the principles, accepting Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and speaking Bhagavat simply as an act of being an instrument of the Lord's compassion. Similarly, there are so many performers who perform Mahabharata, Ramayana, and they entertain our minds and may give us some curiosity for the story. Cannot touch the soul unless they are following the principles, chanting the holy names, and seriously performing their activities as an act of devotion. Last month at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan Auditorium, all of you assembled together to enact 5 beautiful, heart-melting dramas. And as I was watching them, I was seeing Srila Prabhupada in the front row clapping his hands, just as you see in this photo. In 1972, in Pittsburgh at the Syrian Mosque, Srila Prabhupada attended a very wonderful, it was, what was it called, transcendental drama or something. It was the road show. Vishnu Jan Maharaj and others, Mangalananda, they performed a musical, dramatic performance of a conditioned soul becoming Krishna conscious. And we were sitting just maybe 20 seats away from Srila Prabhupada. The amazing thing is, although the auditorium was full with people, the guests were watching the drama. The devotees were watching Srila Prabhupada. One eye was on the drama and the other eye was on Srila Prabhupada. We were just so happy to see him enjoying the devotional efforts of his devotees. Each of these 5 dramas, I can say that Srila Prabhupada was so overwhelmingly pleased. He was applauding. He was showering his blessings. Just to think about what all of you has done is utterly illogical in the context of modern society. You worked for how much? 2 months? 2 to 4 months? Putting hours a week, sometimes hours a day, traveling. Now professionals, they'll work that much, 4 months practicing, so that they can perform their drama throughout the entire year, getting paid every night that they perform. But you all worked for 4 months. So hard, so much coordination, so much sacrifice of your private lives for one performance. And no one got paid anything. In fact, some of you were spending your own money just to help. This is exactly what Srila Prabhupada talks about in his books. Something that is done exclusively as an act of devotion for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, of the spiritual masters, and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because it was coordinated and executed in such a sincere mood of devotion, the fruits of these dramas are something beyond the limitations of material existence. It created unity, harmony in the relationships amongst devotees. It created very deep realizations of appreciation for one another. It created very deep absorption into the Lord's leelas. And also a sense of real fulfillment, spiritual fulfillment. From any point of view, the performances that we witnessed were superb. I think if any scouts for Doordarshan or any of the film producing companies were to have been there, they probably would have offered all of you major contracts. These performances were super excellent. I was amazed. Just a sweet, gentle, little humble devotee like Srinivas manifesting. I think if Duryodhana would have been present in the audience, he would have been taking notes. Or was it Vrindavan Chandra? Srinivas. The acting was, it was done with such professional quality on one level, but with such sincerity and such devotion. I was so proud and grateful to see how Krishna was empowering each and every one of you, both you who were on the scenes and you who were behind the scenes. To move the heart with the message of Krishna is the essence of preaching. Krishna explains in Gita that those who preach this message to my devotees are most dear to me, and no one will be more dear to me. How each and every one of you in your roles literally move the hearts of devotees. Our faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, our faith in the glory of Srila Prabhupada's movement was soaring beyond this material sky. So it was really something beyond words that I can express, but I thank you all very much. Krishna told gopis that your actions are so dear to me that I have no way to repay you. I can only ask you to be satisfied with your own good qualities. so many highlights I cannot express. Never did I ever think I would see Srinathji begging forgiveness from his daughter-in-law. In front of over 1,000 people. Every year these dramas are becoming more intense in surrender, sincerity, and devotion. The brahmacharis sing Stoka Krishna in his classic role. Govinda Prabhu, everyone was weeping and crying as he was preaching the absolute truth on his deathbed. And that incredible performance by all the brahmacharis, Gaur Gopal, Shikshastakam, so many, and how that beautiful last scene in Sri Rangam was breathtaking. And the next drama was Kaliya Krishna. Little Prachi, she doesn't even have to act. She's just all attractive by nature. All she has to do is come out and be Krishna. It was beautiful. Nanda and Yashoda, Kaliya. The Gopas, the Gopis, the Brijabasis. I was looking around. Each and every person was totally absorbed in their roles. Literally, in that Leela, the spiritual world was manifested before our eyes. That was not a dramatic performance. That was Krishna's Leela manifesting in this world through his devotees. Beautiful. And then there was Vidura and Dhritarashtra. What can I say? Yugavatar, Adikesha Prabhu, Srinivas, Vrindavan Chandra, everyone. Such sincerity, such depth. Performed with such integrity. We had the drama of Sri Venkateshwar. Huh? There were so many different devotees performing so many different roles. I can't imagine the complexities of trying to organize that, but yet synchronized so perfectly. Each member was literally engrossed in giving their body, mind, words, and life for the pleasure of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. In the appearance of Krishna, these two dramas the second day were like epic performances with casts of thousands. the production, the direction, the acting, the backstage is very wonderful. Dwarkadish Prabhu. Can I say, ever since that drama, when I see Dwarkadish Prabhu, fear awakens in my heart. Everyone, just look upon him now. Such a sweet, gentle, smiling Vaishnava. But for the mercy of Krishna, for the blessings of the Vaishnavas, he was Kamsa. Terrible, horrific person. For such a gentle, kind-hearted, sweet, joking devotee like Dwarkadish to play that role, how much he had to practice. He must have been meditating on the lotus feet of Kamsa. 4 months. Simply wonderful. And the joy of seeing the cowherd boys and everyone, it was beautiful drama. So much to be said. So tonight we are dedicating to thank all of you. Each and every one of you. I mentioned few names, but each devotee equally deserves the most auspicious blessings of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And as you look on this photo, you should meditate on how Srila Prabhupada was personally and directly looking at you in your role of participating and applauding with pleasure in his heart your devotional service. Thank you very much. Place we are sitting, Seapace Park, is a very much historical part of our branch of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. We know that Srila Prabhupada, he left Sri Sri Radha Damodar Mandir in Vrindavan after he had struggled for approximately 6 years to translate, write commentaries, print and publish the first 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. From Vrindavan he came to Bombay. It was his earnest and determined desire to fulfill the instruction of his beloved Guru Maharaj, Om Vishnupad Paramhansa, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to bring the message of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that the essence of all knowledge is contained in Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the very personification of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. It was in the Juhu area that Srila Prabhupada met with Sumati Murarji, and after great, great efforts, ultimately convinced her to give him a free ticket on a cargo ship across the Atlantic Ocean to New York City. She was utterly against sending him. She considered preaching the pure Vaishnav culture in the Western world is simply impossible. But to speak of such an old man on the brink of 70, with no money, no support, no proper contacts. But he sat on the steps of her office like a beggar and said he would not move until he got this ticket. So he went across the ocean, so many difficulties, in New York City. On Jaladuta he had heart attacks. In New York City he had heart attacks. He was shifted from one place to another. No one helping. No one in India was willing to help him in any way, except maybe sending him a pair of karatals after letter after letter after letter of begging. It's the only help he got. So Srila Prabhupada, he sat in a little park and chanted Hare Krishna with a little American drum that someone gave him, about this big. That drum is at New Vrindavan. I remember one time, it was in the early 80s, Brahmananda Prabhu, who joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1966 in New York City. Actually, no, this was in the 70s. This happened in the 70s. It was Prabhupada was still on the planet. And Brahmananda came to the Brahmachari ashram way on the top of that mountain where nobody ever wants to go. And he came in the temple room. And before he even offered his obeisances, he started to cry. And he just raised his arms up spontaneously. And with a loud voice, Brahmananda Prabhu has capacity for loud voice. He's very big size. He started just shouting out, "That's it! That's it! That's it!" He was in tears. "That's it!" And then he offered his prostrated obeisances. Then he got up and he said, "That's it! That's the drum that first made us dance." And he ran to Prabhupada's Vyasa-san, and the drum was just sitting there. We didn't even know where that drum was from. It was just a little bongo drum that people play in Latin America. And we knew something about it. But he explained, that is the drum that Srila Prabhupada led all his kirtans with in the earliest days of the Hare Krishna movement. And if you hear the early records or tapes of Prabhupada, he's playing that drum, doom, doom, doom. You can tell it's not a mridanga at all. Who's this big? So playing a little drum that somebody donated to him
an American hippie. He began the Hare Krishna movement. Many, many intelligent young people came to him in New York City. Then he went to San Francisco and opened a second temple, then to Montreal. Then he had to come back to India for some time because he was very sick. He was practically on the verge of death. He stayed in Vrindavan. Then he came back to America and began many centers, Los Angeles, Texas, New Mexico. It was in Montreal that he sent six of his grihastas to London to begin a temple. That was a very important place for him, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally sent some of his disciples to London to preach Krishna consciousness. But they were not able to accomplish what was expected. In London, these devotees only experienced with about 1 year of Krishna consciousness. Many of you think that you're new devotees. You've been around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. They were sent to one of the most difficult and demoniac cities in the world to spread Krishna consciousness. And they were not even devotees for a year. But they had faith in Srila Prabhupada's mercy. They were fearless because they knew if Prabhupada wants it, we could do it. So they struggled. Krishna never lets anything good happen without struggle. How Prabhupada struggled. How his devotees had to struggle. Malati had a newborn baby, and she was living in basements of warehouses in empty boxes. An empty box was her bedroom. And they would go out and preach, sing in the streets. That sacrifice attracted Krishna's mercy. And he sent the most famous and influential man in the Western world to want to help the Krishna consciousness movement. They invited Srila Prabhupada to London. While they were there, there was one very kind-hearted Indian gentleman named Ramchandra Chabria, who said to Srila Prabhupada, if you ever come to Bombay, I have a hotel, and all your devotees could stay there. So Prabhupada came to Bombay the next year. And the Sea Palace Hotel, many of you remember, we've had about a dozen programs on the terrace of that place. Our dear friend Ramchandra Chabria is still welcoming devotees. So Prabhupada lived there for about a month with about a dozen of his original devotees who he brought to India with him. And from there, I believe he went to Akash Ganga, and from there he came to Seaface Park. Srila Prabhupada lived in this little complex, the building just across the way, at one gentleman named Kartikeya Mahadevya's home. And Srila Prabhupada had his headquarters for all of Asia in Seaface Park. Just the building next to this. In fact, he was leading the whole movement from here. If you read his letters, this was in about 71, he was sending letters to New York, to all his disciples, to Los Angeles, to London, to Chicago, all over the world. He was telling them how to spread Krishna consciousness from Sea Face Park in Bombay. This is a very historical place. His disciples, Shyam Sundar, Malati, Gurudas, Jamuna, and Madhurisa, Prabhu, they were all living here with him. There's a nice story that Kartikeya Mahadevya Prabhu told me. Just a couple years ago, he left this world. He explained how Srila Prabhupada was living right in his house with him, with his family. And Malati got these beautiful little deities of Radha Krishna. And they installed them in his house. She got them from Vrindavan. Prabhupada was living, and he stayed there for just a few days. Then one day he just packed his bags, and Mr. Mahadevi asked, "Swamiji, where are you going?" He said, I'm leaving this place." So, "Well, why? We want you to stay. Where are you going to go?" Prabhupada had nowhere to go. He said, "It's not proper for a sannyasi to stay in a family's home for more than a week, because you're living here with your family and your children and grandchildren. You know how Indian families are. You are all Indians." So he said, "I cannot stay in this family environment for more than a week. Sannyasis must go." So it just so happened that Kartikeya Mahadevi, I think his brother, had just left his body, and there was a flat just across from his in Sea Face Park that was vacant. So he said, "You can just have the whole flat for yourself and your disciples as your center in Bombay." And Srinathji Prabhu, you were living here at that time? And that's where you used to visit Srila Prabhupada there. It's only about a 45-second walk from here. That's where Prabhupada was leading the whole International Society Krishna Consciousness from. And from here, gradually, they found that beautiful site in Juhu Beach, and then Prabhupada shifted to that place. Giriraj Maharaj was one of Srila Prabhupada's very, very dear and intimate associates. He's just coming out with a beautiful book describing his pastimes with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. And Prabhupada personally taught him how to preach and make people life members. The purpose of life membership was to make people devotees for the rest of their lives. It wasn't just to get money. For people who had no inclination for anything else, it was to get them to give something. But the idea was, once making a life member, they feel a very, very strong, permanent connection to a spiritual family that's going to cultivate them and sustain them for the rest of their lives in Krishna consciousness. And if today you meet any of the life members that Srila Prabhupada personally made, or that Giriraj Maharaj personally made, you'll see that they had deep, deep commitment to our movement. So when Giriraj Swami would go to get to make life members, because Juhu is not a very good place, in that time it was a jungle, they would come downtown. And he would take his prasad every day at Srinathji and Maithili Priya's house here in Sea Face Park. And before there was a Radha Gopinath temple, our headquarters was Sea Face Park. We lived in Srinathji's little house, and every morning we would chant japa on the banks of the ocean. It's a beautiful place. And from here, we acquired one little room. It was just a little room on the downstairs. Across the ways from the Mataji's ashram now, there, now it's not ours, but there was a little tiny room, and that was the temple of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. The deities were this big at that time. And there were so many rats. Big, big rats. So someone said we should get cat. So we put a cat in the temple room. The temple room was very small, hardly twice the size of this, maybe three times the size of the seat that we're sitting on. And the first day we put that rat, I mean the cat, we went the next morning looking for the cat. Cat was nowhere to be seen. We were searching everywhere. And finally we found the cat. He was in a little hole in the corner of the wall, near the top, near the ceiling, and he was trembling in fear. And gradually from that humble beginning, by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy and the dedication of the devotees, somehow we got little more space than little more space. The temple room we're in now, we had no access. It was three classrooms and a yoga class. But somehow or other, with the efforts of Srinathji Prabhu, Krishnachandra Prabhu, and others, Radha Gopinath just conquered the Lady Northcote Hindu orphanage. Krishna's name is Hari. He takes. And we are praying he will take our hearts as he took this nice temple room. Since that time, there has been many, many satsangs on this rooftop. It's very small, but very, very special. The environment here is very holy. From Sea Face Park, Srila Prabhupada, the months he lived here, he would go to take his morning walk every day, usually either in Chopati Beach, walking up and down, or at Hanging Gardens. We take for granted the ordinary nature of whatever we come in contact with in this material world. But actually, this is a very, very, very historical and significant place for all of us. Because in remembering how Srila Prabhupada struggled and the little or no facilities he had, we gain the most practical understanding of what is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Sri Krishna puts his devotees in hardship, for a neophyte devotee, that hardship is necessary to detach us from the false hopes and expectations of material happiness, which is so deeply rooted in our hearts. Also, these frustrations cause us to ultimately realize that we're helpless and we're hopeless, and only Krishna can save us. And for most devotees, that's the time when we really become very serious about hearing the holy names and taking shelter of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But for the great devotees, they are put in these situations because Krishna wants to teach the world through those who are most dear to him. Krishna put Arjuna in a bewildered state to teach the world Bhagavad Gita through his devotee. Narsingha Dev, he could have approached Hiranyakashipu and tore him apart the first day he insulted Prahlad. Why did he wait until after Prahlad was thrown under stampeding elephants, thrown in fire, thrown in cyclones, put into the ocean, fed deadly poison, tossed off the tops of the peaks of mountains, crushed by massive rocks? Krishna wants to show through his devotees what is the quality of their character. What is their devotion? What is their faith? What is their determination? Mahajano yena gatasa panda. The truth is to be understood by following in the footsteps of great personalities. So when we hear the histories of how our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada struggled, we should understand that Krishna was teaching the lesson of the essence of Krishna consciousness through his life. Seaface Park appears just like any other part of Bombay to our materialistic eyes. But actually, the most sublime lesson to each and every one of us and to the world is to be remembered and understood here. The purpose of human life is to die. Nobody wants to die, but that's the purpose of life. This may sound unattractive, but it's all attractive. We live to die. Physical death is inevitable. No one can avoid it. What is history? History is simply the names of dead people. Look at your history books. If you're sentimental about all these people, every name you see, you'll just start crying because they're dead. Because we only live in this world for a few years. The tides of time are fast approaching. But in this human life, we must die before we die. That means this false ego must die. With the death of the false ego comes the emergence of the true ego. False ego means janasya moho yamaham mameti, that I am this body, I am the enjoyer of this body, I am the controller of this body,
and all things in relation to this body are mine. My family, my home, my business, my car, my wealth, my power, my intellect, my influence, my abilities. Prabhupada said, a pauper is proud of his penny. If all you have is a penny, you're proud. This is mine. If all you have is a little rag to wear, you're proud. This is mine. The ego is so deep. And it has been growing in all directions in our consciousness since time immemorial. Real ego is Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. Our life is meant to serve. That we are eternal. We are not this body. We are not this mind. We really have nothing to do with any paraphernalia of this material cosmos. We are of spiritual substance. Our real homeland is the spiritual world. Why we become attached to this place of misery? Because of the ahankar, false ego. So human life is not meant for any other purpose but for that false ego to die. But Maya, or material illusory energy, is so powerful that she will, at every step, try to delude us in a bewildered condition where again we put hope in the false promises of Maya. We read the scriptures, we hear the satsangs, we philosophically analyze, discriminate, and understand what's true. But again, we're bewildered. We may have our duties, and we must perform our social responsibilities within this world, and some economic maintenance is required. And it can be a wonderful service to render. But if that becomes the goal of our life, if that distracts us from our mission, if by doing it, it inflates our ego, rather than kills that false sense of ego, then we have once again fallen in the hands of Maya. So we should remember this. That in this world, birth and death are like two sides of the same coin. You take one, and the other side's going to show its face very soon. So this is the example. How to live in this world in total sacrifice of devotion and surrender to Krishna. That is what the great personalities have taught us. And their compassion of showing us the way in the most generous, the most forgiving, and the most loving ways. So, to me, when I come to Sea Face Park, I remember Srila Prabhupada's wonderful pastimes here, and it brings about some awakening of what is our real duty, what is our real purpose in life.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And I'm so very much amazed how Srila Prabhupada is attracting all of you. Very intelligent, well-educated, sincere devotees. Literally dedicating your lives to his mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. This greatest joy to our hearts. When I first met Srila Prabhupada at Cross Maidan in 1971, he was putting so much of his sacred energies in trying to somehow or other induce the people of Bombay to chant Hare Krishna. And seeing his love and concern for all of your lives, what greater joy could there possibly be to our hearts than seeing all of you chanting Hare Krishna and receiving his mercy? Who is that? Haribo. So please be happy and chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!